Hello and welcome to This Podcast is Rigged with JW Riggs. I have an awesome guest today, Megan Casey. You have probably seen her awesome ventriloquist act on TikTok and some of her awesome puppets. So how are you doing today, Megan?
I am good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Super excited for this.
Me too. Yeah, it's been... I'm glad we've had this on the books for a while, so I'm excited about this.
Yes, I'm very excited. So I guess jumping into this, I mean, I know you've been performing since you were 5 years old, but how did you get started in all of this?
So I got started in ventriloquism because of my dad, actually. He picked up ventriloquism when he found out that I was going to be born. And he used to read to me all the time using puppets. And when I was 5, I saw his lips move. He's like, what? You made it talk. He's like, no, I didn't. Like, yeah, you did. And then he was trying to cover it up and all this. And I was like, no, you're making it talk. I put my hand like on his throat. And I could like feel the vibrations and stuff. And I just put two and two together. I was like, you're making this talk. I want to learn how to do it. And he went to this ventriloquist convention every year. And he told me in order to go to this ventriloquist convention with him, I needed to become a ventriloquist. So I read this whole series on ventriloquism. It has like 32 books in it. It's called Merit Course of Advanced Ventriloquism. And I read all the books and stuff, and I went to my first convention with him when I was 6.
That's awesome. I've tried puppets. I actually have a few puppets. My thing is, with the ventriloquist thing, I can't talk and do the puppet thing at the same time. Like, I can't talk with my mouth closed, but I'm trying that. I really am.
Oh, gotcha. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, it takes lots of practice. I used a popsicle stick. This whole course that I got on it came with a popsicle. Excuse me, this popsicle stick and like this puppet. It's like a pocket thing where you like squeeze the sides of the mouth and it opens, and that's how you like practice like the syllables and stuff like that.
No, that's pretty cool. I mean, I think I got my first puppet 3 or 4, or actually about 5 years ago now. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So now this question might be a little hard. It's like, it might be like asking a parent who their favorite child is, but who's your favorite puppet? You have so many puppets, Aiden, the dinosaur, or Crush the turtle. Like, who's your favorite puppet?
I think it's a tough one between Crush and Aiden. So Aiden I got when I was 16, and that's kind of when the whole ventriloquism thing for me started to take off, because I was able to like develop a personality for like this character and stuff. So I think Aiden might be the one I'm most attracted to. Crush I did not like at first. Really? His voice I actually used to use on a shark puppet that I have.
Okay.
And couldn't think of a voice for him, and that was frustrating for me. So I don't know what voice to get this character. And then I ended up not using I don't use a shark puppet as much anymore, because one, to be honest, it's a little scary for kids. I don't see how kids would like it very much. Kids like turtles more, so that's kind of why I adapted to Crush more. But Aiden I think is my favorite.
Now that's pretty cool. From watching your videos, I mean, my whole family watches your videos. We love your videos on TikTok.
Oh, thank you.
So, but honestly, mine's probably Aiden, as I've always loved dinosaurs. So
dinosaurs are a big thing for sure.
And my 4-year-old niece watches your videos as well, and she loves dinosaurs. So
I'm so glad.
From some of the research I've done, I saw that you're part of Puppeteers of America. Do you mind kind of explaining like what that is and stuff?
Yeah, so Puppeteers of America, it's an organization, it's throughout the United States. So if you do any sort of performing or anything like that, it's kind of like a networking type thing. Puppeteers of America, I haven't really talked or like gone to any meetings in a little while, to be honest, but as of this whole thing with COVID, but we used to go to meetings. I can't remember where it was. I think it was at the Denver Puppet Theater. That's not open anymore though, in Colorado. That was closed down. But we used to have meetings and stuff there. So I'm not sure where they really meet now, but the Puppeteers of America is just all these puppeteers and ventriloquists, artists that do stuff with puppets. They're all a part of that network. So if we think an event, it's kind of like a, hey, we can refer you to this performer sort of thing. So yeah.
Wow, that sounds awesome. So But no, that sounds really cool. So, what's your favorite part of puppeteering?
My favorite part of puppetry, I think, it's the magic behind it. I really like how you can just bring an inanimate object to life, and you can just, so like the puppets, I guess not any inanimate object, that sounds weird, but like just a puppet that has a mouth, so anything that you can like move its mouth with. I really like how you can just create a whole characters, like in a movie, an actor creates a whole character for that person that you're watching on the big screen. That's kind of what I'm doing for these characters. I create a whole persona for them, so I can create my own stories and stuff like that, so I can kind of twist and adjust anything I want it to be. Like Aiden's this snarky four-year-old dinosaur who like loves marshmallows, and he's ornery. Like he's your typical like I want this, I want that sort of toddler. And then Crush is like Eeyore, very mellow, and like I think I adapt the personalities too from cartoons that I watched growing up, like Winnie the Pooh, like SpongeBob, and like just stuff like that. I kind of adapt the personalities too.
Yeah, Crush kind of reminds me of a mix of Eeyore and Patrick Star a
yes.
little bit, maybe.
Oh yeah.
No, I feel like I kind of, with Aiden, with the dinosaur puppet, I feel like I kind of adapt to him a little more. So I feel like the personality with him and I are a little similar.
Yeah. Everyone has an ornery side to them, for sure. Whether they admit it or not, I feel like everyone can relate to Aiden, because he's curious about everything, and he has all these questions about the world, and everyone has questions about the world. So I think that's why a lot of people relate to Aiden. I think that's why he's my favorite too.
So my next question is, I saw that your ultimate goal one day is to have an educational television program that teaches kids about health, safety, and fitness using your puppets. So I have another question kind of with that is, would that be more like towards like the Sesame Street side, or something like Lamb Chop, to where with Lamb Chop it was one main puppet, and then kind of like a
kind of want to do something Sesame Street style with it. I have so many different characters and voices and stuff that I enjoy using, but I feel like if I just stick with one character, I'm gonna lose a lot of people's attention very quick. So that's why I tried to switch the puppets up in my TikToks that I post. We're like, she posts about the dinosaur all the time, even though he's my favorite. But I really like switching things up, because when you add a whole bunch of characters together, it creates this whole storyline. And that's kind of like what my shows are over the summer. When I perform educational stuff at libraries and schools and whatnot, my goal is to create a story that everyone can relate to. When adults watch my shows, even, they're like, it's like Disney. Like when you're older and you watch Disney movies from when you're younger, you pick them up on a lot more jokes now than you did back then. So that's kind of
definitely
what my style of shows are, to be honest, because I want the parents to enjoy stuff just as much as the kids. So I want everyone to be able to turn on a TV like, hey, let's go watch this, and like have them learn a valuable lesson too while they're watching it, because a lot of stuff we watch for entertainment, but it can kind of just go one ear out the other. I want people to gain some value from what they're watching from my content, and be able to better themselves from it.
No, that's awesome. I think that'll be great. Actually, something to the point of, like you said, sort of like Disney movies, I kind of even picked that up with stuff like Muppets and Sesame Street, as I was watching, I think I was watching like Elmo's World or something with my niece last week, and there was a joke in there. I was like, huh, I even think that's funny.
Yeah, there's jokes out there, like, and the kids will be like, what? Like some jokes they'll laugh when they hear their parents laugh too when I'm performing, and I don't know if they get it, but I want the parents to enjoy it like just as much. Sorry if you hear banging, my dad's working upstairs.
No, that's okay. So my next question is, besides your dad, who inspired you, like Terry Fader or maybe even Jim Henson?
Jim Henson, I kind of started to learn about when I first started ventriloquism. And then I actually did a whole research project on Paul Winchell growing up. I found out he was the voice of Tigger for Winnie the Pooh. And he was the first creator of the artificial heart too. And I was initially very curious about, I wanted to be a doctor when I was going to college and stuff. And I realized, what am I doing? Like after I like graduated, I was going to go to med school, take a few years off. And I was like, what am I doing? I like teaching kids. So then that's when I got a job as a paraeducator in a school district over here in Colorado. So I really feel like Paul Winchell, he's been a really big impact on just the puppet industry and as a whole. I feel like it's a positive impact that he made. Terry Fader as well. I look up to him. Like when he was on America's Got Talent, he was the first major ventriloquist, I think, to win that show. And it just, it blew my mind, the amount of impersonations that he could do. And it was really cool to win a scholarship in 2013 and like meet him and talk to him and stuff, because where he came from, he built a really big name for himself and he worked so hard to get there. So it's just really admirable to see where everyone has come from and how hard they have worked to get where they are.
No, that's awesome. Terry Fader is definitely someone I grew up watching more than, I would say more than Jeff Dunham, because Terry Fader is more on the cleaner side. So
yes.
That's more something the whole family could watch besides just like the grownups. So that's why I've always loved his comedy and stuff.
No, yeah, I agree. There's like a parents that'll come up to me. There's this one kid actually. I was doing stuff for the Arapahoe County Library System in Colorado, and they have like survey sheets that the kids can fill out. And they have like all these happy faces, like, did you like the show? And they have spaces where kids can write stuff. This one kid wrote, she's like a Jeff Dunham for kids, is what he put on the thing. And I'm just like, what? I'll have to find this. I'll have to send it to you. It was so funny when I saw that. I died laughing so hard. But yeah, I definitely think cleaner comedy is the way to go.
Yes. I mean, that's kind of why I kind of built this podcast up a little bit, is at the beginning of quarantine, I really felt like everybody needed something like that, something for the whole family to listen to, get away from all the COVID stuff and news and stuff. So.
For sure. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. People need that for sure. That way they can, because they're at home with their families all the time too, so they need to be able to watch stuff with their families.
Right. That's why I thought, I always loved puppeteers and just learning about all that stuff. So that's why I've had a few different puppeteers on the podcast before. So thank you for doing this. It's
yeah,
awesome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, this has been fun.
Now I have a few more questions.
Yeah.
So what was that?
I don't know if you can hear my house tone or not. It's like dee, 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 dee. I don't know if it can pick that up or not, but.
Do you have any like interesting stories of when you're puppeteering, let's say at a library or something, like any interesting stories or something just like really funny that happened?
Yes. So, I'm a couple. So the one story is really sweet. This little boy, he follows me everywhere whenever I'm in Denver, doing shows for the Denver Public Library Systems. He came to me one time. I had surgery 4 years ago on my knee. I just re-tore the same thing in my knee. And I had to do a show like 3 days post-op after, like at the Englewood Library, I think is what it was. And I had seen him before lots of times. And he came to my show and he came there wearing a shirt that said, I heart. And it had a picture of me and Aiden on the shirt. And he gave Aiden a little bag of marshmallows too, to eat. And now it's a thing. Whenever I see him, he has a little bag of marshmallows to give Aiden. It's just a thing. Aww. Every time that I see him, he gives it to him. So it's the sweetest thing ever. And then there was one time, it's kind of funny. I was doing a show in New Mexico. I have this light rope out for kind of like a boundary when I'm performing, like this is my stage area, don't pass it, because I'm performing in libraries and schools a lot. But I have this light rope, and this little kid got up and just like, no regard to the light rope, walks up to the puppet stand and is like, hi dinosaur, like as I while I'm performing, just right underneath, just, hi dinosaur. And I'm trying to ignore this, like, and just keep going with my thing. And then she's like, how are you doing, dinosaur? I was like, okay. I was like, I can't ignore this anymore. So then I just start incorporating it into the show. I'm like, oh yeah. And Aiden say,
yeah, I'm doing good.
And then just try and get her to go sit back down, like, hey, you should go sit back down. And then she's like, no, I want to play with you. And she started like pulling on Aiden's arm and stuff. And the parent is just like laughing. At this point, I'm hoping that she's like going to come grab them to come bring them back down and like sit down with them. But it was pretty funny. I like doing stuff like that too. I like incorporating stuff like that into shows because it really tests my improv skills too. And that's something I am always scared to do, but that's a pretty funny thing that happened. And then when my mic stops working, that's always a fun ordeal because I have to like yell. And then the puppet's voice sounds hoarse by the end of the show. And I'm like, what happened? And Aiden's voice will like crack when I'm performing. It's like, oh, he hit puberty while I'm performing. So.
No, that's hilarious. I feel like with the puppet stuff, like you said, you improvised a little bit with it. So like, do you have training in improv, or is that just something that you kind of, that just kind of comes naturally?
I think that's just something that comes naturally. I have always been scared to just like, I don't know, test new things out in front of people, let alone at a ventriloquist convention in front of 500 ventriloquists that are like probably staring at your mouth. But I think the improv just comes naturally. I'll use events that have happened in my life to try to turn things to be funny. But yeah.
No, I feel like when I first really started getting interested in puppets was, let's say 5 or 6 years ago. My brother went through cancer at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. We moved down here to Tennessee, and okay. I just kind of needed something like that. So mm-hmm. I just kind of gravitated towards puppets, and through my brother, my brother's in remission now, luckily, but, and he's doing great and married and everything. Good. That's just something we kind of bonded together, was watching old Muppet shows and like playing with the puppets and stuff. So
that's awesome.
So that just kind of, in a way, I feel like that kind of put us closer together, since we're 8 years apart, but we've always been extremely close. Like, there's really no age gap type of thing.
I gotcha. I have a little brother who's 5 years younger than me. He's going down to school in Texas right now. I used the puppets with him when I initially started doing ventriloquism, because I wanted to practice like with someone too, / make them laugh. And my little brother was born with something called Treacher-Collins syndrome too. So he had to undergo a whole bunch of surgeries and stuff like that. So I would just love to make him laugh, and we would just like watch TV together and stuff. So I totally get that. It's a great thing to do. Like just being able to watch stuff, laugh together, and it's a great way to bond.
Right. No, I think that's really, with the thing with siblings, I feel like every sibling needs that type of thing. Like every set of siblings needs that type of thing of like the Muppets or something like that.
So. Mm-hmm. Something they can relate to and like, yes. Refer back to. It's kind of like an inside joke sort of thing.
Yeah, like sometimes in public when I'm with my brother and sister, we mention something about the Muppets, people just look at us weird. Okay.
They're like, what are you talking about? They're like, only we know about this, so very long.
Or I don't know why, but like when I was little, I watched the Muppets movie with like the one from 2011 like 5 or 6 times in a row. So my parents know all the songs from it. My mom and dad know all the songs from it. So randomly sometimes dad just starts singing Man or Muppet. Mm-hmm. No reason, just kind of starts singing it. So
I love that. That's awesome.
Back to the puppets and stuff. So you have a TikTok. Your videos on TikTok is how I found out about your puppet stuff, how I got more interested into puppets. What's your favorite thing about doing TikTok?
One thing I like about TikTok is just the variety of stuff that's on there. I was actually really against like downloading TikTok at first, to be honest. I caved and downloaded it in March 2020. So I'm coming up on a year of being on the app. And my first video I uploaded was of my cats, like, saying 60 backstay, but like the song was perfect with it. My cats are just like pushing each other away. That was my first video I ever uploaded. And then I think like a month later, I was like, you know what, I'm going to try something. And I thought I'd just do the thing with Aiden. It blew up overnight. I did not expect that to happen. It was like, Aiden was like missaying TikTok or something like that. What? And I just started doing bits that I did when I did stuff at libraries. I was just re-recording them for the app, and everyone seemed to get a kick out of it. I was like, oh my gosh, people are like laughing. People are liking the stuff that I post. Like, this is like, I think how I'm going to be able to reach like the audience I want to reach is through this app. Like, I didn't think the app has changed my life. I had a lot of shows canceled this summer, so being able to just make videos constantly on that, there's this fulfillment that I get when I'm watching these duets that families make, like, or kids make with stuff that I post. It's really nice to see kids laugh, because that's one thing that this all, doing a virtual show and not hearing any laughs, it's weird. Like, it's like you're performing to a ghost town. And I live off of what the audience reaction is. That's how I create my shows. My shows change throughout the summers constantly. Like, my first show at the beginning of the summer is completely different than what it is at the end of the summer, because it has changed so much and it's gotten better. So I live off the audience's reaction. I like seeing what everyone does like. And I read everyone's comments because I want to know what they want to see. I want to know what makes them happy. There's sometimes a lot of comments to catch up on. And sometimes I just need like a break from social media, so I won't be on the app for a few days. But it's really nice to know that there's a lot of people out there that do like my content.
Yes. But no, your videos are awesome. TikTok is definitely something, like you said, you didn't want to download it at first. I didn't download it until the day everybody went into lockdown. So
yeah. Okay.
It's just like, I downloaded it. I said, fine, I'm probably just going to delete it that night. I ended up like watching it, keep watching it. I haven't deleted it, so I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah. I kept it too. I was just like, when I first uploaded one with my cats, I was like, what am I doing? I don't need to be on this. Like, I have so much I have to do. But it's honestly, it's taught me a lot about myself, this app. I have explored avenues I would have never gone down with my business. I'm making ads sometimes for companies, like, I have to do with water bottles. Like, it's really cool products. Like, there's been some weird stuff that people have asked me to promote, and I'm like, that's not really like about my brand, sorry, I can't do that. But like, if it's a cool product, like, and I want people to know about it, heck yeah, I'm gonna make a video on it. But it's a really cool way just to like show everyone everything in the world, I guess. Like, there's this really cool thing I'm getting from a company here soon that I don't think it's over here in the United States yet. They're sending it to me. It's from Europe. This thing you can put in the back of your car. I'm going to make a TikTok with it, and I'm going to have Aiden like be driving my car with this video. So it's going to be this whole elaborate ordeal when I put it together, but it has really made me think outside the box in terms of content.
Now that's great. TikTok's definitely kind of that, not inspired me to do my podcast, but somewhat did, like seeing all these creators reaching out there, making their own thing. So I thought that would be perfect. And I've done a few videos about my podcast. I'm working on doing more. So
awesome.
Now, I believe we still have a few more minutes. So if there's anything else that you would like to talk about or promote, since like you just put new merch out. So
yes. Oh my gosh, the merch. That was a whole I had to keep changing the date on it. I felt so bad because everyone's like, oh, where's your merch, you said this date, you said this. I'm like, I know, I'm sorry, I did not mean to. There was so much that went into it. I'm using Shopify is what it is, I think, to do all it. I made my own website for it. I paid the rights. I don't own these characters, so I had to pay Steve Axel, who owns these characters from Axel Expression. So I paid him like the copyrights and stuff for me to have this merch, the characters on my merch. It's doing pretty well so far though. I haven't really been able to like promote it as much as I would like to, just because I've been so busy doing everything else. Like, I run my own business, I'm scheduling stuff for summer reading programs, I work 30 hours a week as a paraeducator. And I'm now trying to do PT on top of all that for my needs, well, it was just like, make sure I stay healthy. So there's a lot that I'm juggling. But I've gotten better, I guess, at learning how to manage my time. That's one thing I think I've been really bad at my whole life. I've been such a procrastinator. And I think this whole, the merch page, I was like, oh yeah, this, oh yeah, that. When I finally pieced it all together, figuring it out how to launch it, it was such a relief. I literally spent 48 hours, like nonstop, trying to just get it out there. I was like, I'm not making them wait anymore. I need to just get this done.
But no, the merch looks really cool. I plan on getting some soon, some Aiden merch.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I'm making new designs and stuff for it now. And I've made some adjustments on the website too, because I realized I priced everything like $3 or $4 too high at first. And I was like, eat. So I had to go back and like change everything. I was trying to offer like free worldwide shipping, but I realized it was not cheaper for you guys if I did that. So that's why I was like, no, I'm just not going to include shipping on it. So hopefully it's reasonably priced for everyone too, if they go want to take a look. It's like MeganMKCXRMP.com is what that website is.
Awesome. Everybody go check that out. Now, one other thing I wanted to talk about. I was researching some more on TikTok and I saw a video of, I believe it was with Aiden, you were doing the alphabet backwards. Is that just something you've always been able to do, or?
Yeah, so my dad actually taught it to me. There's this thing to remember for it. So it was like ZYX, just know ZYX, WVUT, Wubbit, SRQ, Sir Coupon, ZYX, WVUT, SRQ, PON, MLK, Martin Luther King, or MELK, MLK, JIH, JIF, instead of JIF, GF, ED, my dad, Ed, CBA. So there's just like this whole thing that I remembered for it. But he taught it to me when I was little. I was like, how can you do this backwards?
No, that's cool. I was watching the video right before this started and I was like, that's really cool. I need to mention that.
Well, thanks.
Well, thank you everybody for listening. Is there anything else you would like to discuss, or?
Nope, I think that's everything. Yeah, if you guys aren't following me on TikTok, it's Megan M. Casey. I have an H in my name, M-E-G-H-A-N. but yeah, no, don't forget the H. H is important. I love posting the content. I have my YouTube channel too, which is almost at 10,000 subscribers. So if I can get there, I'm trying to be better about uploading on there. But yeah, make sure you guys go check it out. And thanks for listening.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody, for listening.